Welcome,
Aquama,
to the podcast.
The podcast, Aquama.
So, bienvenue.
I knew I didn't see. I thought bienvenue sounds Ponzi. Aquama sounds good.
Who are they?
Aquabage.
Aquabage.
Aquabage. Aquabage.
You got recently hit.
I'm a bit better. I'm better now, but I had a nervous breakdown this morning. And I've just been crying on the desk for a while just to get out of my system. But what happened was, I had a friend down for the weekend. I had a lady friend,
Ecuadorian,
but too fine a point on it. And we had a lovely time. We went to London Aquarium and we went to see a play in the dark.
In the aquarium.
Yeah.
Did you have a Romeo and Juliet moment of looking through, fish tank?
We did, but there was an eel in the way. Spoiling it. I went to the other side of the fish tank to say, I bet I can see you from the other side. And in between was this eel, very just gawping. Anyway, this morning,
right,
she was going to come in to watch the podcast because she wanted to see something. But then there were delays on the tube, and the train came, and it was very busy. There was barely any room for anyone to get in there. But I thought I've got to be here on time. I don't want to be late.
Mm.
So I got on the tube, and she said, "There's no space for me. I'll just get the next one." I said, "No, come on, there's space. Get on. Come on. Hey." I didn't do that. "Come by," I said. I didn't. And then the doors were closing. I said, "Right, well, give me a call when you get to Southwark." And then the doors shut, and she just said through the glass, she said, "No, I'll just go to Euston and I'll go home." And that was it. The doors were shut and the train went, and I was just left feeling like bereft and feeling awful because, you know, I left this poor girl on the platform. Mm. She'd come to visit me for the weekend. She didn't have to go home. I felt dreadful about it, and I was really upset. And I got to Waterloo, and I was in a rush because I wanted to get here on time. So I was running up the escalator, and I came across a mother with a pushchair and a young kid. And the kid was standing on the left side of the escalator, and you're not supposed to do that. So I came up behind him, and I just patted him on the head. And I said, "Excuse me, I'm trying to get past." And I might have been a bit tetchy, and I'm sorry if I was. I said, "Excuse me, I'm trying to get past." And then the mother grabbed me.
Who are you apologising to there?
To the kid.
Or for you apologising to the listeners?
Oh, no.
"I'm sorry if I was tetchy with the child." Carry on.
Anyway, the mother grabbed me and said, "What the hell are you trying to do to my child?" And then she shoved me down the stairs. No, she didn't yet. I should have just left it, but I kind of thought, I was annoyed and I was in a rush, so I tried to climb over the child, because I thought that would be easiest. Because he was very little, he was about 2 foot high. So I tried to just clamber over him. And then she lost it and shoved me about 5 stairs down and then screamed at me and said, "What the fuck are you doing to my kid? Get the hell away from my kid. Where are you going? And what do you want anyway?" And I should have backed off and completely left it, because she obviously wasn't in a good place. But I was annoyed. I was already upset about the train thing. I was upset about being late. So I just tried to push
the
past
eel.
Him more. And I was upset about the eel. And we grappled. We were grappling on the tube with this kid in between us, right by my knees.
All right.
And I should have left it. But in the end, I grabbed him and I just shoved him down. I didn't. That would have been too much. But no, we got to the top and we'd had this grapple, and then she'd rounded on me at the top of the stairs in the middle of the concourse at Waterloo and said, "This man just tried to shove my child down the stairs." And everyone screaming it at the top of the voice, and the entire station turns around to have a look. And then she grabs my headphones, because I was listening to the Swell Season at the time. She grabs my headphones and just starts whipping me with them, like over and over, over and over again, and screaming, "This man tried to shove my child down some stairs." And then she sort of lost it and started breaking down and went, "I'm all on my own. Look at my struggle." And then continued, like, whipping me with these headphones again and again. And I was sort of cowering. I was on the ground at this point. I was on my knees saying, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And the kid...
You were on your knees,
I'd
cowering.
Love to see what the kid made of this, because I didn't see the kid's face.
You were cowering on, you were on your knees. You weren't just
terrified.
You were actually...
I was begging.
Like, proper, "There will be blood."
Yeah. And then she was... You know, these headphones
she
right in the eye.
She was whipping you.
She was whipping me with my headphones.
And you're on the fucking...
Yeah, and this entire station now turns to look, and she's screaming, "This man tried to kill my child. This man tried to kill my child," shoving down the stairs. look at my struggle. She said that again and again. And eventually, I blurted out. It was like a thing. I said, I'm sorry. I was in a rush. And I snatched the headphones from her, and then I ran. I just ran out of Waterloo. Yeah. There was 100 people watching me thinking I tried to kill her kid. Right. And I'm scared. And then I'm scared to go back there now.
And then I was half an hour late anyway.
Yeah, you were half an hour late. And this is the thing, is that I rushed and I struggled because I assumed that you would be here on time, that Josie Long would be here on time, and then it turns out she can't make it, not her fault. You were late, totally your fault. And I've been beaten and embarrassed and humiliated in front of 100 people in Waterloo, and I'd left this girl after our trip to the aquarium and our play in the dark. I'd left her on the platform.
Big shout out to Laugh Out London.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Laugh Out London for retweeting us as kindly as they have.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm better now.
You keep wearing the same red shirt. Is this your podcast shirt?
It's just my favourite shirt, and I happen to keep wearing it on Sundays. It's better now we're using these chairs, because when we were using those ones, I just looked like a floating
you
head.
Look like a puppy.
A puppy?
Poppy.
Oh, a puppy.
I don't know, it's very poppy red. You look like a poppy. Yeah. When I came in, I thought you looked like a poppy.
Oh, thanks.
Do you know what? I didn't really examine that thought until now, and when I first came in, I saw it, I thought, you look like a poppy. That's how my mind works.
Nice. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm wearing a orange flannel jacket that's supposedly Indian. A woman at the party last night kept telling me that, no, it's not from India. And because I was just trying to say, I didn't know what to say to her, so I was like, I like to think I'm from the Raj, or something, you know, I like pretend I'm an emissary from Kannur, and she goes, no, it's not from India.
What did she say?
No, I just walked off.
Oh, right.
I did the marathon in 2010.
Yeah.
And everyone keeps saying to me, you should dress up as your characters or whatever to do the marathon. The thing is, but I know better because I saw other people who dressed up as things for the marathon. And for the first, 5 miles or so, they're loving it. It was like the main two songs were, I Got a Feeling, woo, that one. New York, Concrete Jungle, where?
Empire State of Mind.
Yep, all those ones. Like, those were the big ones.
Men in Black 3. In Men in Black 3, Tommy Lee Jones' main character arc is that he learns to like that song. Sorry, carry on.
Was it him or Josh Brolin?
It's him at the end that says, I like this song now. So I feel like it's his character arc. But you see Josh Brolin go through the motions that engender Tommy Lee Jones's liking of that song at the end.
So the big songs of the day were I Got a Feeling and
Empire State.
And there was a guy that was dressed as the Statue of Liberty. And at there was a guy I saw at Statue of Liberty, I saw Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And there was a married couple who were celebrating 20 years, and they had running versions of wedding gear.
That's,
you know,
that's cute.
Like, yeah, and so for the first 5 miles, everyone's loving it, you know, because you keep, throughout the marathon, you keep bumping into people that you don't know again and again. A bit like life. And a bit like life, Joss. So the marathon guy is loving it because it's got New York, hey, that's the song. And he's waving the candle, whatever it is. He's waving his Eucharist candle that he's brought with him. No, he's loving it for about 5 minutes. And then halfway through, I bumped into him. I'm running past him on the Tower Bridge, halfway point.
Yeah.
And the song's still because it's every mile, it's those two songs on loop. So it's at this point he's just broken down, miserable. As I'm crossing the bridge, I saw him throw the wand or whatever it is, throw the wand threw it at the railing. It was like, at this point, he didn't give a fuck. It was like everyone's going, woo, Statue of New York, fuck, just fuck. But what was the best thing was I saw the bit that actually it was. seeing someone else, witnessing their hell really jeered me on for about 2 miles, like, was the married couple. They were going around going, woo, marriage and all this kind of thing. And then by like mile 10, the woman is just leaning up against this wall underneath one of the bridges. And the husband's just standing at her going, come on. And that kept me going for like about 2 miles. I completely forgot that I shouldn't be doing a marathon. It was great. I saw Miss England, right? Or Miss England or Miss UK or whatever. And that she was, for some reason, I thought that I would be the first person to chat her up. So but I actually heard some, as I ran off, I heard the beginning of the sentence that I just said to her. So as I'm running up, I said, you come here often. And as I was, and then I ran off, and as I'm running off, I could just hear, you come. I was like, oh, fuck.
Do you know the most successful chat up line I've ever used in terms of just statistics and percentage of success is you've got to have a song playing, so you've got to be at a party or somewhere where music's playing, and all you say is, hey, if we got off right now, this would be our song. It works a surprising amount of times.
Well, I was at a birthday party last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was gone. Like, I was... So, but what happens is, when I really am drunk, I'm going to be one... I'm just given to being the Wally dancer at the party. And, but what my thing is to say about every song, woo, this is my song! And there were hula hoops. And I was having a whale of a time. Every song was just... And it was supposed to be ironic because every song was... feminine or gay. And I was going, this is my song, yeah! And people didn't get on board with it for the first one. I don't know, I feel like for some reason I think it's going to galvanise people.
What?
Just one guy going, this is my song. And then everyone's going, let's celebrate this with him. This one's supposed to be about fear.
Yeah, we haven't really touched on it yet.
Scared of balloons.
Can I tell you? I've got a story about the aquarium.
Go on then.
I went to London Aquarium yesterday.
Balloon fish.
They've got them. They actually, yeah. I embarrassed myself because there was a tank.
You embarrassed yourself.
There was a tank full of puffer fish. Mm. There was a big crowd of people all looking at them because that's one of the more interesting fish. And I didn't realise they were puffer fish, so I looked at them and I said, "All these fish look like they've been inflated," and all of them, about 10 people, just turned and laughed in my face. Really embarrassing. But the main thing, it's great, by the way, you should go to the London Aquarium, they got sharks and everything, but there's a penguin enclosure where you get there, and that was very busy because everybody loves penguins, and they got three of them, and they're swimming, eating fish, and in the corner there's a woman with a microphone doing you a little talk about penguins, and initially it starts off fairly sort of innocently enough, and then she starts trying to claim more and more stuff as normal penguin behaviour. And I got increasingly suspicious of it. Because she was talking and she said, now, about once a year, penguins go through a process called molting, where they lose all their feathers and they become bald. And at this stage, they actually become really quite depressed and upset. So if you ever come to the aquarium and you see a bald penguin looking quite upset and depressed, it's perfectly natural, normal process for a penguin. And I was like, okay. And then about 5 minutes later, she went... now, actually, when penguins get out of the water, they don't like to face towards the water's edge. They tend to prefer to face away from the water. So if you ever come to the London Aquarium and you see a penguin just standing in the corner facing the water, that's actually an entirely natural, normal process for a penguin. And the more she said it, the more suspicious I got. Because I was like, what? Just the idea that you'd turn up to the aquarium and there'd be this bald penguin sat in the corner staring at the wall and weeping and hitting himself in the head. And she's going, this is normal. This is completely normal.
This is to be expected.
If you see a penguin hooked up to a machine in the corner having genetic experiments conducted on it, it's an entirely normal, natural process for a penguin. And then I just...
Oh, look, it's Alfie, the angel doctor penguin.
Just increasingly sick things that they do. This penguin has no wings left. This is normal. You'll notice them framed in our gift shop. This is entirely natural...
You know, one of the favourite things...
They were cute, though.
One of the favourite things I ever saw is... you know when, like, penguins are supposed to fall back or whatever?
Yeah, when they look, when they see something.
Yeah,
like
I saw a child do that once. It was I mean, a joyously retarded thing for a kid to do. It was in Ghana, and it was a small plane just going off. Yeah. And this kid's going up. He's just looking at this plane going back. And then for some reason, he didn't realise that there's, you know, the more he looks back, the more likely he is to fall. And he just fell. But he didn't fall like, you know, like a... It was the most... He fell like a plank. And it was just like a penguin.
I found with the penguin enclosure, right, because they paint the walls to look like ice caps. Like the Antarctic. Mm. And I was looking at that, and I was trying to think if that's for our benefit or for theirs. Because I'm not fooled looking at it. I'm not looking at it and going like, oh, it's just like we're in the Antarctic. Like, I know we're in a room. So is it for the penguins' benefit? Is it so that they go, they don't notice they're in a zoo?
It's a bit like the Truman Show for penguins.
Yeah.
Imagine if you just see, like, you come in and you see a penguin on a rowing boat with just a sail, and it's just given up, and it's just lazy against the side of it, and there's just
holding a placard that says, in case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
This is perfectly normal behaviour for penguins.
Harris is in the moon.
Imagine just seeing this one moment where it finally makes it to the side, and you just see a penguin turn around to look at everything and then go through a door.
Bowing.
Bowing.
Then it goes to Fiji.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch that.
That would be the best. If they did an animated penguin version of the Truman Show, I'd watch that.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch that.
Basically, Happy Feet, isn't it? But the Truman Show.
Happy Feet meets the Truman Show. Did I do... I've spoken about marathons.
Yeah.
I can't do this one because... also, my knees are fucked.
Yeah.
From being the strong young man at the community centre. I've been a furniture...
You lift a lot of
furniture
children.
Guy for about 5 years.
Yeah.
And children.
Carrying them on your shoulders. That's what I imagine. When I imagine you at the community centre, I imagine you with children on your shoulders. That's what I think you do. I think you make...
Doing the Harlem Shake.
I think you pour, squash into plastic cups and you distribute pink wafers and then you carry African children on your shoulders. That's what I picture. But I think that's me just putting...
I distribute pink wafers to African children.
I think I'm just thinking about my experiences at community centres as a child. And then
every day I'm Jane Goodall. Oh no, that's not the name I want. That's terrible.
Edit, if we can Google the name, then you can say it at the end.
I was just trying to think of a white person in Africa, and I came up with the person who works with chimps. That's really not the name I want.
She's in Africa, though, isn't she?
Stanley Livingston.
Wasn't Jane Goodall, she was in Africa?
Famously so.
Yeah, so that's all right, isn't it? She didn't distribute pink wafers to the gorillas. It's a deleted scene from Gorillas in the Mist where Sigourney Weaver passes out pink wafers to all the silverbacks and then carries them on her shoulders.
Squash.
That's the ending. She just gets crushed because she really wants to carry one around.
Until recently, I thought Gorillas in the Mist was about Jane Goodall. It's not.
I thought it was.
It's not. Couldn't Who's it be about? More wrong. It's Who's about it Sigourney about? Weaver. Do you know Sigourney Weaver does David Attenborough's job?
No.
In the for the American version, it's Sigourney Weaver. It's not David Attenborough.
Do they change all the cultural references? So instead of like pavement, she says sidewalk. So she says like, you wouldn't see this crocodile on the sidewalk.
When does David Attenborough say, no, you wouldn't see this crocodile on the pavement?
That's an example.
As you can see, the crocodile's gone under the water now. He's got his eyes up and he's looking at the zebra. Now, you wouldn't see a crocodile on the pavement. Now, David Attenborough going, now, this is perfectly normal behaviour for a crocodile.
I saw a crocodile yesterday. They got crocodiles at the aquarium. And crocodiles can learn their names. Crocodiles are one of the most intelligent reptiles, apparently. Because they got this Cuban one. And they've taught it Spanish. It can recognise Spanish words.
But it can't speak any other languages,
though. It can't speak English, no. Well, it's from Cuba. It's from Cuba. You can't expect it to... there'd be no use in it learning English, except it's in London. That's the tragedy, is they put all this effort into teaching it Spanish and then they send it to London. It's fucked now. It's got no chance.
Manuel, dinner time. Get...
Seriously, it is going to have trouble because I work in an international school and I've seen the
crocodiles.
I've seen the difficulty that comes with not being sufficiently bilingual in London. You got to know English to get by in London.
Yeah.
And I'll say this for that crocodile: it's just as well it's got zookeepers, because if it was here on its own,
minders. It's just as well it's got just as well it's got a team.
Because if it was here on its own, wandering around London trying to speak Spanish to everyone, A, no one's going to understand. B, people are going to go, oh my God, there's a crocodile on the pavement. That's right.
On the pavement? You brought that full circle.
I did. That was a callback. Tick. Done that. Done the aquarium. I'm scared of moths and you're scared of balloons.
Swapsies. But... I'm scared of it because someone told me it was the tension. I don't like the tension of balloons because they could pop.
Yeah, at any moment.
Yeah, but the thing, I've seen so many balloons pop in my time. I've seen so many balloons pop and never has anything bad happened.
Yeah, but do you get scared when they pop? When they pop, do you go like... Whoa.
No, it's not when... Well, I'm quite highly strung, so I guess any bang is bad for me. But it's... It's when you see people rubbing balloons and it's all this kind of thing.
That's
it. Yeah.
Is it the texture?
But yeah, I guess so. Well, it's... one of the few times anyone's ever... No, the only time anyone's ever put a birthday party on for me, that weren't my folks, right? Yeah. There was a surprise thing and it was in a kitchen and the place was full of balloons, right, with candles... And women in high heels.
You went in and went. Ah.
Yeah, it's like women in high heels jumping around near balloons. There's all these candles with balloons. People, as if just to take the piss, people just holding balloons, rubbing them. It's like just to take the piss, right? And I just came in and I had to pretend that I was so overcome with how, you know,
that someone
cared enough to put on a party. It's really just an excuse to. Use the balloons, I guess, but it's that I had to leave. I spent my whole birthday, the surprise birthday party, just outside on the stairs, watching people coming in and out. I was basically the bouncer at my birthday party. They said, "You're not going to come in and have the. They're going to come in." They just go, smoking, taking up smoking again. And I was a bouncer. I should have had a book.
Yeah.
I've booked a holiday in Devon.
Really?
Yep. When? Going to Spring Harvest.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just looked around the room for that. It's the Salvation Army do this thing at Butlins every year called Spring Harvest, and it's a Christian thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go along with them. I'm not going to take part in any of this Christian stuff. But maybe five-a-side football. I'm going to take my bike and I'm going to cycle to Dunster Castle every day and every day continually be disappointed that there's no strays that I can say hello to, have a cup of coffee with. And that's what I call strays.
I was always disappointed by castles as a kid because they were never how they looked in the books. I always wanted to find a castle that still had all the working parts and they never do. They're all ruins. And while that has a kind of a romanticism in itself, I so wanted to see a dungeon. I so wanted to see a working dungeon and stand on a proper battlement.
One of the best things you can do is if you do an out of town gig or something and it's a cathedral town.
Go and see the cathedral.
Go to the cathedral. It's lovely. It's a beautiful thing. It's inspiring. But there are. At least half a dozen cathedral tour guides who I'm sure at this point I've got like a wanted dead or alive sign up as like a blacklist. I'm blacklisted from.
What did you do?
Salisbury Cathedral don't like me.
I live in Salisbury.
Canterbury Cathedral fucking hate me. Because I went to uni in Canterbury for a couple of years and.
You did an out of town gig in Salisbury?
No. Well, we were there though.
Yeah.
Salisbury is really eerily white.
Yeah, there's no comedy in Salisbury. There's one black guy in Salisbury called Solomon.
Of course he is.
He washes the cups in the cathedral restaurant and he's the toilet guy at the Chapel nightclub.
You really know his life.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Good friend of yours?
Yeah.
Is he the 39-year-old you take to the pictures? But I know, if you go into the cathedral, right, and you just follow the tour around, just follow the tour around.
Yeah.
And then say if there's any questions... That you could have. This is when you're first, I'm looking for the dungeons. Where's we see the dungeons? You say it like that as well. I look for the dungeons. What's the dungeons? Or what my favourite was yes, I'm looking for a Holland and Barrett's. I used to do that all the time, because Canterbury Cathedral, and I would bring people along saying, "You've got to hear my Holland and Barrett's joke at the cathedral." And there was a good 10 times I would say in the space of the year that I've discovered this joke that I could do, that I would take dates or I would take people with me and we'd go to Canterbury Cathedral and we'd just and I could just I could see her seeing me, and I could see them going around, you know, just like, and this is Thomas Beckett and all this kind of thing. And I would just be about 30 foot away with whoever I brought with me. One time I took like a group of people.
Did you tell them you had something planned for it?
I told him the joke. I said, "You've got to see my Holland and Barrett's joke at the cathedral." And I could see it, and it was just biding my time. It was mind games. And then just at the end, I would walk amongst the Germans. And I would just among the Germans. Amongst. And she would say, tepid, with a lot of suspense, she'd say, "And are there any questions about the tour?" And I'd go, "Yes! I'm looking for a Holland and Barrett's." And it never got old for me. It never got old. I think I'd like to go back there someday.
Did anyone else have a laugh at it?
She, the first time I did it, she thought it was so charming. She thought that's made my day. That is, because it gets really boring in it. And by the ninth time, she fucking hated me because it was clear.
Oh, it was the same woman.
Yeah.
Oh right. It was the same old different cathedral.
It was the same old sort of ethno touristy woman's hour. Yeah. Glasses at the bottom.
Glasses.
The girls, you know what I mean, of the nose.
Yeah. This is audio.
You know, she's just walking around like the kind of woman that wears a scarf just over one shoulder. You know.
I've got a joke that I used to do.
I did that. I've done that at other cathedrals as well.
Because you know that statue of Nelson Mandela's head that they got on the South Bank?
Yep.
I'd go to the South Bank with a lady, or whoever I'm with. I did it with whoever I was with. And then we'd walk past that, and then I'd stop, and I'd read the entire plaque with all the information on Nelson Mandela's life. And there's a lot of information on there, and it takes about 2 minutes. And I wouldn't explain anything. I'd just say, "Oh, hold on." And then I'd just stand there in silence for 2 minutes and read all this. And the tension builds and builds and builds throughout this joke. And then I'd finish and go, okay. And then walk on with them. And then wait about 30 seconds of silence still. And then I'd say, "It's weird that they don't mention the Shawshank Redemption." And every time, I mean, it slays me. Totally slays me. And they go, "What?" And then I go, "Oh, it's just weird that they don't mention the Shawshank Redemption." And then and they don't find it very funny, and I have to explain that I think Nelson Mandela looks a bit like Morgan Freeman. And then they go, "Oh, right, okay." Mm. And then we go to Giraffe. I haven't done it in a while.
I've not been into the Giraffe.
It's all right. They do the normal Giraffe food. Mm. Or Wagamamas. You go, that's the trick.
I don't like
you
Wagamama.
Do the Nelson Mandela
well, I always
thing,
do, because I've got my little date jokes that I do. There's one is my favourite one is I get out my donor's card when I'm supposed to be paying the bill. Go, oh, that's embarrassing. And then it, what it does is it shows I've got an ironic sense of humour.
But also,
and
you're a donor.
I'm donating my organs when I'm
organs?
Dead.
Organs?
Organ donor card.
I'm a blood donor. I've got a blood donor's card.
Right.
I give blood. Sometimes.
Well, just one or the other. It's just and it's got a heart on it as well, so that's
so
quite nice.
Love reminds me of
organ
donors.
It takes
romantic
love to donate your pancreas.
You donate your pancreas.
What's for organs? I've ticked all of them.
God, imagine if you die young.
Do you know when I signed up?
And I get your organs. Do you reckon I'd inherit your powers?
Yes. The thing is, when I did the organ donors thing,
I got your face. Sorry, go on.
Food for thought. When I did all the organ donors, I was fucked off my face on Ket. And it was for some reason I thought, like, this is a great idea. And I was online. Just because, you know, if you, for listeners to the podcast, if you've never done Ket, basically it's like a speedball in one. And there was a phase in my life, a few years ago, where I in fact got the nickname Ketamine Carp for a summer. And for some reason, I spent money on ketamine, right? And basically, what ketamine is that you do your key or whatever it is with ketamine, and then you go, I've got to go to the next room to whoever you're with, and you go to the next room and you sit down, and for about 10 minutes, you just go. It's like, in hindsight, I have no idea why, of all the drugs to do, I did ketamine. There was not one enjoyable moment. You sweat. It's like your sweat's like you sink, and you everything is an abyss. Life is an abyss. Everything's weird. Life is a weird abyss, and you actually do moan. You just go, I'm just gonna go to the next room, sit. And in one of these episodes, I went online and I
filled out an
organ donor's card because I thought, like, there's got to be some karmic, I've got to do some karmic balance to this whole thing.
I had the nickname MDMA Joss at uni for a while, and I'd never even taken MDMA. They just thought it was a good nickname for me. And all the drama department said that every week I took a load of MDMA and then went to the LCR and just raved it up every Saturday. I'd never taken it. I don't know where that... But where that came from was someone once asked me what my name was, and I said, as a joke, I said, my name's Joss, but you can call me MDMA Joss. I forget why I made that joke now, but it engendered a rumour that hurt my reputation for quite a while. I've got another story about fear that I can do really quickly, just because we have to wrap up soon, don't we? Do we? Okay. Mm. I had the thing I was most scared of as a child, right? Because I was scared of moths and I was scared of various things. But the thing that really got me was my stepdad's old bottle stop, because he had we had this bottle, and it was at an angle. It was a crooked bottle, and we stored 5p's in it. So whenever you got 5p, you'd put it in the bottle, and then when the bottle was full, we bought something nice for the family. That was the idea. That was lovely. But the stopper that was put in the top was the most hellish thing I've ever seen. Because it was carved out of stone or wax or something in the shape of an old man. He had a big hooked nose and very wide blue eyes, horrible blue eyes, a huge beard, and then a leather felt hat, a leather and felt hat, like wide-brimmed hat. And for some reason, ever since I was about 6, I hated it. Like, I really hated it, and I couldn't even look at it. And my brother always used to say that, just to wind me up, he said that the reason I was scared of it probably was because a man who looked exactly like that was going to kill me one day, and that it was like a premonition of my own death. And every time I looked at it, I saw it, and that guy was going to kill me. So I've always hated that bottle stop. It's still there. It was around December, I was on the tube, and I got on the tube, I was listening to my iPod, I can't remember what, Peter Gabriel probably, and I was sat down, just down in front. And then I looked up, and sat opposite me on the tube was
a 5p coin.
No, no word of a lie. Literally, the man that the bottle stopped was made to resemble. He had the same hat and the same beard and the same face and the same eyes. And he looked at me and I lost it. I totally lost it. I'd like, you know that bit in Home Alone where he's in the shop and he sees the guy with the shovel? And he just stares and goes, and then runs. I did that. I couldn't handle it. I saw this man who was just an old bloke with a wide brimmed hat.
Someday, that man on top of the bottle is going to save you from a woman beating you with your own headphones.
Thanks for listening to the What Not podcast. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube, so listen to us there. And please remember to comment, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful day wherever you are.